Let's pray and sing. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the day and the sunshine and everybody being in such good form. And I pray your good hand upon us this evening as we take this time around your word. Thank you, Lord, for the time we had with Frank, and pray you, Lord, please, that you would look after him. Just watch over and keep him as he sojourns in London. Please be with Christy and Mark as they, wend their way towards America. With our brothers and sisters in Christ, Lord, right the way across the world, I pray you even now, whether they're in church or out of church, for your presence to be felt, for your good hand, for your guidance, Lord, for your strength and comfort. Bless our time together, I pray you, Father, and just give us what we need. We hold you to your promise that wherever two or three are gathered together, that you'll be there in the midst. Pray that you would find our prayers, our praises, our preaching and teaching, our fellowship, our reading, Lord, everything that would be done just the way you want it done. Lord, we love you and thank you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for your Son, for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Just leave these things at your feet, as well as our private prayer requests, Lord. And we ask that you would grant them according to your will. Amen. Amen. Hymn number 64 in the big book, obviously. The wee book doesn't go up that far yet, but hymn number 64, Shall We Gather at the River. This will be familiar to lots of folks.
Shall we gather at the river?
Next, if you're still fit, number 66 at Calvary, if you're able, stand with me, sing. Amen. You good to read, Norman? Come on ahead then, brother.
Evening's reading is from Colossians chapter 3. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, for Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil, conspicuousness, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake and wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or non-circumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels, mercy, kindness, humbleness, mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing, and with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Wives, submit yourself unto your own husbands, as if it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well pleasing unto the Lord. Father, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, and ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. Amen.
I like that verse, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. A lot of good verses in there. Amen. Right, just want to take a moment or two of your time and ask if there are any prayer requests that we would need to write down that you want other folks praying for. So now would be the time. Steve?
I know my granddaughter Louise is on the prayer list already. But I told you she was talking to the hospital and suspected sepsis. She's been given antibiotics, strong ones. But she's got till tomorrow for it. If it doesn't clear, then she has to go back because it will be sepsis. So please pray that it's not, it's just an infection. But the antibiotic works.
Okay. We'll be praying for that. Anything else? We've got Frank down for his travels. We know he's arrived, but until he's back again, he'll be travelling, isn't that right, Link? So please do pray for Frank and Christy, of course, as well. Miss them and Will and Christine, please do pray for them. Norman's sister, Edith, is not doing the best, so we'd appreciate your prayers for her. Heart problems, so if you would pray for Edith. Anything else?
I'd like to pray for me.
That goes without saying, Steve.
Well, the Venus nurses have decided that if keeps on living the way it is, in a matter of 2 weeks' time, there'll be not putting the pressure bandage on anymore.
Good.
Put it back onto the normal pressure socks.
Good job.
It'll be cleared. And I would like to give thanks to God for all these things.
Yep.
And for my wife.
Isn't that nice?
Amen. Any other prayer requests? Anything else we need to be writing down? Oh, did you have your hand up there? I see out of the corner of my eye. Yep, just keep praying for my dad too, if you would. He's having a bit of difficulty getting his daily dose of walking around the park in Killikamine. Blood pressure problems again, so we may have him up again for a little while, but we're just waiting to see how it goes. I feel it. Pardon? Do you know what, Pat? That just shows how much attention he actually pays your insurance. Never hurts to be mentioned twice. Does anyone remember Norman's sister's name?
Edith.
Good for you.
Edith.
Some people were listening.
I told you it was Edith.
Anyway. Yep, please do pray for my dad. He's misbehaving a bit with his treatment.
Would you keep praying for
I get my hands on him.
Can we pray for Jessica too?
Because
she's
been we filled, we when did I see her?
Was it Friday?
It was Friday.
Yes.
We told everybody on Sunday morning, and I think I may even have sent a text around, but as I was saying to Pat, it's all very well saying somebody has something wrong with them, but until you see it, it's not real until you see it. And she looked very sore, and she was all bandaged down her neck and her back and her chest, so please do continue to pray for wee Jessica. For Jessica. Wee in years. She's full grown. Yes, indeed. Please do pray for her. Anything else?
Thanks for all the blessings we received.
Have that there. It's almost like just stays there. Pray for our... Who was telling us that Arlene Foster is quitting?
Yes.
And I pray for our country. It certainly can't get any worse, can it? But please do pray for our country, or our little part of Britain. It certainly needs a strong hand at the tiller. Yes. Okie doke. Is there anything else? Okay. I'll have a word of prayer, and then we'll continue. Steve, are you okay to leave us?
Yes.
Well, you go ahead then, brother, if you would.
Blessed Father, I come before you yet again, Lord, for this day, Lord, to have this time together with you. I give thanks and praise and worship for the privilege of being able to do this, Lord. I ask, Lord, that you hear our prayers and petitions, Lord, and the private prayer requests to you, Lord, that you will grant each one according to your will. I ask, Lord, the traveling mercies for Brother Christopher and Mark, as they travel over to America, Lord, be with them. Get them there safe, Lord. And let them have a good time with the brethren in your name. Lord, I ask too, Lord, for blessings on every household here represented. Each one of us, Lord, lay your Holy Spirit upon us and grant us portions of wisdom as you bring Brother Mark the message to us this night. Give Mark the words to speak to us, Lord. Lord, that we may receive a blessing, a chastisement, or whatever it is, Lord. We know that if we hear it, and we know it's for us, we know that you care one way or the other. I give thanks, Lord, to Father, for Jessica and Louise. Lord, that they're not well at this time, as you know. Lord, just be blessing them, lay a healing blessing touch upon them. Lord, help them and strengthen them, Lord. I pray, Lord, that these antibiotics work on the beast, Lord, and that she doesn't have to come back in. Father, I pray for Esther too, Lord, for their aches and pains, and my wife's as well, and everybody else, Lord, who has their aches and pains here this night. Lord, that you would just lay your healing touch upon them. Lord, just give them strength and grace and mercy, please. And Lord, we hold you to our promises as well, with your promise, Lord, that you'll be with us always, even unto the end of the world. So that we know, Lord, that wherever we are and wherever we're doing, whatever we're saying, whatever we're thinking, and the Holy Spirit, you are with us, guiding us and keeping us right. I give also thanks, Lord, for the promise of the two or three in your name, that you'll be with us, Lord. Lord, let us feel your presence. Let us have a good time together with you, Lord. Let it be acceptable to you. Now, Lord, all these things, Lord, I lay at your feet. Not forgetting Israel, please, Father, please. Bless Israel. Lord, please save your children before the point of time. Lord, if you will, bless our world leaders, especially this country as well. And Arlene Foster is stepping down. Lord, put a good leader in her place. Lord, let him be a Christian person. She be a Christian person. Put your will first, Lord, that we can become the Christian country we should be and grow in strength. Please, Father, all these things at your feet do I lay, knowing full well, Lord, that it be done according to your will, and for it will be good one way or the other. In Jesus' name, please. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Steve. Alright, let's take our big hymn books again. We'll sing another song, maybe two, and then we'll open our Bibles. 244, if you're fit. Amazing Grace.
Good old favourite. You should be able to sing that one without even looking at the book, shouldn't you? But we'll not embarrass. I don't want to embarrass myself by trying to
get
that wrong. 244 will remain seated for Amazing Grace. Wind for another song.
Two or three.
I certainly. 372.
This is a favourite for a few of us. 372. Let the lower lights be burning. If you want to stand, stand. If not, sit. But as long as you make a joyful noise, I'm not saying anything else.
From his light as evermore.
We'll put our hymn books away for a little bit and take our Bibles out. And if you'd like to join me in the book of Judges, book of Judges chapter 14, I want to spend a few minutes this evening. I want to skip through 15, 16 and possibly 17 as well. But I want to spend a few minutes this evening on the subject of all but one from Judges chapter 14. There are only 20 verses in this chapter and we're going to read them all. Judges 14, beginning at verse number 1. Amen. This is the life and times of Samson. Amen. The word of God says, "And Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath, the daughter of the Philistines. And he came up and told his father and mother and said, 'I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughter of the Philistines. Now therefore get her to me to wife.' Then his father and his mother said unto him, 'Is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren, or among all the people, that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines?' And Samson said unto his father, 'Get her for me, for she pleaseth me well.' But his father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord that he sought an occasion against the Philistines, for at that time the Philistines had dominion over Israel. Then went Samson down, and his father and his mother, to Timnath, and came to the vineyards of Timnath, and behold, a young lion roared against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid, and he had nothing in his hands, but he told not his father or his mother what he had done. And he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well. And after a time he returned to take her, and he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion. And behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion. And he took thereof in his hands and went on eating, and came to his father and mother, and he gave them, and they did eat. But he told them not that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. So his father went down unto the woman, and Samson made there a feast, for so used the young men to do. And it came to pass, when they saw him, that they brought 30 companions to be with him. And Samson said unto them, 'I will now put forth a riddle unto you. If you can certainly declare it to me within the 7 days of the feast, and find it out, then I will give you 30 sheets and 30 changes of garments. But if ye cannot declare it to me, then shall ye give me 30 sheets and 30 change of garments.' And they said unto him, 'Put forth thy riddle, that we may hear it.' And he said unto them, 'Out of the eater came forth meat, and out of the strong came forth sweetness.' And they could not in 3 days expound the riddle. And it came to pass in the 7th day that they said unto Samson's wife, 'Entice thy husband, that he may declare unto us the riddle, lest we burn thee and thy father's house with fire. Have ye called us to take what we have? Is it not so?' And Samson's wife wept before him and said, 'Thou dost but hate me and lovest me not. Thou hast put forth a riddle unto the children of my people and hast not told it me.' And he said unto her, 'Behold, I have not told it my father nor my mother, and shall I tell it thee?' And she wept before him the 7 days while their feast lasted. And it came to pass in the 7th day that he told her, because she lay sore upon him. And she told the riddle to the children of her people. And the men of the city said unto him in the 7th day, before the sun went down, 'What is sweeter than honey, and what is stronger than a lion?' And he said unto them, 'If ye had not ploughed with my heifer, ye had not found out my riddle.' And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he went down to Ashkelon, and slew 30 men of them, and took their spoil, and gave change of garments unto them which expounded the riddle. And his anger was kindled, and he went up to his father's house. But Samson's wife was given to his companion, whom he had used as his friend." Amen. Have another wee word of prayer and ask the Lord to bless us, and then we'll continue. Heavenly Father, Please open our understanding of the scriptures at this time, and please help them to be a help to us. Please be with all those, Lord, that we know that really do need you, ourselves included. Lord, as the days get darker and darker, we certainly need you more and more. I pray you strengthen us and give us portions of wisdom and endurance, Lord, great boldness as well, and let us not be afraid of telling folks about the great things that you've done for us. Bless our time around your word, Lord. We just leave this at your feet and pray the same for every soul that opens the King James and preaches the full counsel of it. Please save souls. Please edify your children, Lord. We ask this all, please, in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus, and according to your will. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I have quite a few verses there that we could use as a text, but verse number 6 and verse number 19, where the word of God says, the first one was where the lion jumped out at him and roared, and the word of God says that the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid, and he had nothing in his hand. And of course, verse number 19 is whenever he went down to Ascalon and killed 30 men to give, this is 30 Philistines, and killed 30 of them to take their clothes and give them to the men that he used in quotes as his companions, in the time that he was seeking an excuse to cause trouble with the Philistines. You may wonder why someone would do that. Unfortunately, it sits very close to my heart, because for a number of years, whenever I was a nipper, I used to swim in the Portadown Swimming Club. And there was a wee fella there that was bigger than me in height, lighter than me in build, but he used to pick on me all the time. He would always look for a reason to pick on me, until one day I just put my foot down and pushed him back against the door, and he went, and you could almost see in his eyes that he had made a grand mistake. And so I took every occasion to look for an occasion to get him back again. And that just went on and on and on until I didn't see him anymore. And that was that. And like I said, I can understand Samson was looking for, in quotes, an excuse to take action against the Philistines. Not like today, folks, whenever a government is running a country and everybody has their rights, their food, a roof over their head, etc., etc., etc. Back in those days, if your country was overtaken, you could be killed out of hand and no one would say anything. So Samson, he was the de facto judge of the children of Israel before the kings came in. And he was in charge. And in this case, he very much always led the charge as well. If somebody said to you, we're thinking of somebody strong, and asked you for a name, I suppose a lot of people today would say the Incredible Hulk. But if you said it in churches, people are going to say Samson. Renowned for his strength. Renowned not so much for his speed, but renowned for being the strongest man, even stronger than the demoniac of Gadara, renowned as being the strongest man that ever lived. And we can see that. Has anybody here ever ripped up a chicken, dismembered a cooked chicken? Mm-hmm. It's not a big job, especially when it's cooked, because the meat's all nice and tender. You tear the legs off. You might have to cut around the breastbone to pull the meat off. The only problem is the heat of the meat, not the resistance you will get. It's easy. And to give an example, that's how easily, it talks about rending a kid, but that's basically dismembering a little lamb that people would have cooked for their tea. That's basically how easy it was for Samson to kill this lion that roared up at him. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and because what? His hair wasn't cut, because it was long, in other words, he was honoring the Lord honored him with immense strength. And in the early days, walking with God and following God's plan. As we come to the end of this portion of God's word, we see that Samson's wife was given to somebody else, and this was going to be used later because he went back to take his wife. He was obviously annoyed about the whole thing, and he went off in a bit of a temper, but he came back a wee while later, and when he found out that he didn't have his wife anymore, he caught 300 foxes, and that's a job in itself. And he tied torches, and we're not talking about LED torches, we're talking about the old dungeon torches, between every two of their tails. So he sent 150 of these through the crops of the Philistines and burned them all to the ground. And of course, it didn't take too long for them to find out who it was that did it. They said, oh, it was such and such a woman's husband. And they went and killed her and her dad in a house fire. They burned their house to the ground, even though she'd been given to somebody else. And so what he did then, he went a bit bonkers, and he went in and killed a whole bunch of folks with his bare hands. Later on, Philistines went out looking for him. The army went out looking for Samson. And Samson, he was just sort of hanging about on a big rock. And the army of Israel came up to him and said, it almost reminded me of the enemy troops going up to Elijah and saying, the king demands your presence and the fire coming down from heaven and eating them all up. And then another one, and they did the same. And the last one came up and said, please don't kill us, but the king wants to talk with you. And the Israelites went up and said, Samson, we need to deliver you to the Philistines because things are going quite hard on us because of all this. And he said one thing to them, promise me you won't attack me yourselves. And they said, we won't. And they tied him up with some ropes and they delivered him to the Philistines. And as soon as the Philistines saw him, they started shouting and going, oh, we've got him now. And as soon as he heard that, the word of God tells us that the Spirit of the Lord came upon him again, and he tore off the ropes like there was nothing there, and he went hammers and tongs at them with the jawbone of an ass. And the jawbone of an ass accounted for 1,000 trained soldiers in the hands of Samson. Unfortunately, the same jawbone of an ass today accounts for many more than thousands of people's lives. I think they call them politicians these days, but that's neither here nor there. There's a lot going on. Sadly now, we're away up into Judges 15. We're not even there. We're not at 14. We're in Judges 15. And the very last few words in Judges 15 say that Samson judged the country of Israel for 20 years. 20 years. Can you imagine anybody, an enemy coming up and disagreeing with Samson? Like even Goliath couldn't have stood against him. There was not one person could stand against Samson because he was humongously strong. The next thing we hear about Samson, we start to see that things are not going so well. And Samson goes to visit a prostitute. And we see the beginning of a weakness in Samson. Something maybe that was there from the very, very beginning. And the word gets about that Samson is spending the night with a prostitute. And all these soldiers plan to kill him in the morning. But Samson gets up at midnight and he goes to the city gates, which are closed, and he lifts the gates and the posts on his shoulders and he runs away up the hill and leaves them there. And we're not talking about even that gate out there. We're talking about a gate that was probably big enough for two carts to go in side by side, heavy enough to defend themselves against any marauders or indeed even an attacking army. The gates to the city. They could have been maybe most of a foot thick with huge beams locking them and huge beams keeping them in place. And he put that on his shoulders and ran away up a hill. Shortly after that, does anyone remember Samson's great downfall? Does anyone remember her name, Samson and Delilah? That's it. I think that was actually a movie made many, many moons ago, wasn't it? Samson and Delilah. I want to read a wee bit of this. You can listen along or you can read along, and I'm starting in Judges 16. He's going out with Delilah a wee bit, and it seems to be that really nothing can stop him. And Delilah wants to know, and she said to Samson, "Tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee." All right, so I want to lay something out here. A woman who is a member of the invading country that is doing their best to kill Samson a number of times asks Samson, "What's the secret of your strength? How would someone stop you?" Samson is mighty. He says, "If you bind me with 7 green withes," I'm not sure what a withe is, but it strikes me as maybe reeds or vines or something like that, where that he says that we're never dried, then I'll be as weak as any other man. And he's lying there in Delilah's company and he falls asleep and she says, "Samson, the Philistines are here for you." And he gets up and he just goes like that there in the rope. And they all break off him and he walks away. And so she says, "Do you know what? You've made fun of me and you told me a lie. Tell me, wherewith thy mightiness might be bound." And he said, "If you fasten me with new ropes that were never occupied, then I'll be as weak as any other man." So Delilah bound him with ropes. You would think someone would sort of get an idea of what was going on here. It's like someone saying to Iron Man, "Tony, what's the secret of your great strength?" And he said, "It's in my briefcase, it's my armor." And then someone sneaks up and takes his briefcase away, and you would sort of get an idea. So anyway, he falls asleep and she ties him up with these new ropes, and then she says, "Samson, the Philistines are here," and he gets up and he shakes himself and the ropes break and he walks away. And she really starts to lean on him and the waterworks start and says, You told me lies. It's almost like you don't even love me," she said. "Tell me what the secret of your great strength is." And he said, "If you tie the 7 locks of my head," that's your hair supposed to be in 7 bits, grows in 7 different, I don't know. "Tie them onto a weaver's beam, then I'll be as weak as any other man." Does anyone remember a weaver's beam being mentioned anywhere else?
Goliath's
spear was like a weaver's beam. These things are big. They're like a 6x6. And a 6x6 is heavy. There's a 12x2 or a 12x3 that runs the length of the new roof. And it was heavy getting it up there. And she ties his long hair into the weaver's beam and says, "Samson, the Philistines are here." And he just gets up and he walks out with this huge lump of wood stuck to his head and he doesn't even know it. And so the tears come even harder and says, "Oh, you don't love me and you're making fun of me." And she cries and cries and cries and breaks his heart and he tells, "You know what? I've never had my hair cut, and as long as my hair stays long, that's where my strength is." And so she rocks him off to sleep. Out comes the scissors. Snippity snip, buzz cut for Samson. And then she says, "Samson, the Philistines are upon you." And he makes as if to get up and can't. But I want for you to see, he says at verse 20, I will go out as at other times and shake myself. He had forgotten. He had forgotten that he had given his strength away. He didn't know the word of God says that the Lord was departed from him. The Lord blessed him with incredible strength. I would reckon he could give the Hulk a run for his money. Before the Hulk gets really angry, of course. Unbeatable in battle, even empty-handed. Nobody could lay a finger on him. But in all but one aspect of his life, he was unbeatable. Does anybody know what that aspect was? He had muscles to burn, but the one that he never used,
brain.
He never used his brain. His past had already shown a problem there. And the likes of you and me, if we had a problem, I would hope and pray that we would say, even in our prayers or to a dear friend or to a spouse, I'm having a problem and I need prayer in that area of my life. If you have a problem with a thing and it's stopping you from being a good Christian, you would put it away from you or do something to overcome it. But Samson didn't, because why? Samson had huge muscles. And he could wrestle anybody, he could break anybody, he could tear lions apart. Who was going to fight against him? But it cost him everything. It cost him his position as the most important man in Israel. It cost him his reputation whenever everybody mocked him and made fun of him. It cost him his eyesight because they poked his eyes out. And it cost him his strength. And eventually, it cost him his life. All because he used every muscle except the most important one. He leaned on his own strength, even though it was God-given, and started to take it for granted. What's, isn't there a great little verse? Is it Psalms or Proverbs? Trust in the Lord with all thy, lean not in thine own understanding. Direct thy paths. Exactly. That is the promise of God. He never considered his own weakness, and he never thought back and how he had been defeated the first time. It wasn't by strength of arm, and it wasn't by a trim cut or that traditional V-shaped muscly man back. He was beaten by in his wits because he gave in to his first wife. It cost him everything. Can you imagine being able to swing the jawbone of an ass more than 1,000 times? To take out an army with swords and spears and shields? I don't know. Was Samson that fast? That I know Samson was fast. He was able to catch 300 foxes. Was he that fast that no sword swung at him ever landed or was blocked or was taken and broken? That arrows fired at him were caught or swatted out of the way? I don't know. 1,000 men. Barehanded, he killed 30 men. He had the muscles to carry away the gates of a city. He had the muscles to tear apart a lion. And a young one at that, not an old one. But if he had lent not on his own strong right arm, but on the word of God, the very commands of God that apply to all men, no matter who they are, he would have been one of the longest serving judges, and he wouldn't have ended his days as a suicide. He may even have freed his people from the Philistines. But I want for you to know the strength of a Christian does not reside in our biceps, our triceps, our quadriceps, our thighs or calves, or any of the other muscles that we have in our body. The strength of a Christian lies in our walk with the Lord, in our minds. And just like muscles get bigger with exercise, just like they get stronger and are able to go longer with exercise, so will our Christian character with the proper exercise. And I know it's tricky. And I know some days as you sit here in church, I am not the easiest person to listen to. And I do say things that step on people's toes and annoy folks. Just want for you to know it's not out of spite. If there's something that we have mentioned ever in church and it's in the Bible, it is the Lord speaking to you on the QT and letting you know between him and you there's something you need to sort out.
Amen.
But we need to get with that. I've got a few verses that show just how important it is. Samson sinned against God and he paid for it. He sinned against his own body in the visiting of prostitutes. Psalm 119 verse 11. Does anyone know off the top of their head what that says? It starts with thy word.
I would have made my heart with
that I might not sin against thee. So how do you hide something in your heart? I don't know about you, but I just used to have to keep repeating it and repeating it and repeating it. Sometimes even the music. And I don't mean radio music, I mean like deedly 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 like that there. And as a result of which, I know two or three lines from two or three different poems that I thought were quite cool at the time, because I remember walking around the kitchen repeating them over and over and over and over. Has anyone ever heard the one about the host of golden daffodils? I wandered lonely as a cloud that floats o'er vales and hills, till all at once I saw a crowd, a host of golden daffodils.
Mm-hmm.
There's another one. The woods are lonely, dark and deep, and I have miles to go before I sleep, and I have promises to keep. I learned that whenever I was like maybe 11 or 12 or 13, and for the life of me I can't get them out of my head, but give you an idea. If I asked everybody about John 3:16, if I say after 3, follow me, and we'll say John 3:16, how would we fare? After 3, 1, 2, 3, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Brilliant verse. The whole of the gospel hangs in that verse. God's love for us and our need for his salvation and his full provision of that salvation. If I said Genesis 1 and 1, would you know that in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth? Well, it's up there. It's just at Norman's left shoulder. If I asked you about drink, Proverbs 20 and 1, wine is a mocker and strong drink is raging, and whosoever's deceived thereby is not wise. If we said about I'm trying to think now. See, I can't think of any other verses. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. We were looking in, where was that yesterday, Pat? Or was it Steve that I said, Second Samuel 20:22, where it talked about, thou settest my feet upon my high places. Thou makest my feet like hinds feet, and you settest my feet upon my high places. Teacheth my hands to make war, so that a bow of steel is broken in my arms. And so on and so forth. It was hard work getting them to stick in my mind of all places. I guarantee you. There was many's a night I sat at the end of my bed with my Bible in front of me and a pencil and paper, writing them out 5 or 6 times, and then woke up with my head down in the book and the pen and a crick in my neck and my knees sore from falling asleep learning them there. But I needed those verses. Those verses meant so much to me because I told them to so many people round the doors. I needed them, and so I hid them in my heart, not for me, But because other people's souls depended on them. And I didn't want to look stupid when I walked around the doors. Not just saying, well, God says so. I wanted to say to people, go and get your Bible and I will show you in your own Bible where God says that. Because we wanted to see people saved. It never changed in the New Testament. Right? Do you know why it was so important that God said to the kings and the judges, the people that were going to be leading his people, you need to make your own personal copy of the first five books of the Bible. That means by hand, write it out. Commit it to your head. Make sure it's in there because, what did Jesus say? He said, I will send you another comforter, the Holy Spirit, who shall bring all things to your remembrance. Who will teach you all things? It doesn't mean he's going to come with a USB stick and stick it in your ear and you will wake up in the morning with total recall of the Bible. It means he will give you a joy to learn the verses of scriptures. And whenever you have, just when you need them, it'll be there at the forefront of your mind. And I can guarantee you God is good on that promise. In John chapter 6, the Lord just started preaching, I think maybe for the first time, hard preaching. And everybody thought, oh, that just cuts a bit close to the knuckle. And he did. About face. And they started walking in the other way. They walked past Jesus. They were walking away because he was giving them not just the words of eternal life, but the words for life right now. He was telling them how to live their lives right now in a way that's pleasing to God that others can see. Hey, it's different to the way we used to live, but it's valid. It's good. It's clean. Simon Peter was with the crowd and he was walking up to Jesus. Must have been walking the same way as everybody else. And Jesus knew everything, but he was fully man and fully God and he had feelings too. He said, are you leaving me too, Peter? And he said, where are we going to go? You have the words. He didn't say you have the biceps of eternal life. He didn't say you have the muscly thighs of eternal life. He said thou hast the words of eternal life. As the rest of the New Testament progresses, I've got a couple of verses that I would like to share with you. Paul, in his letter to Timothy, his second letter to Timothy, stressed the importance of knowing the scriptures. And he said, study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's for you. Now in Ephesians, does anyone remember the gospel armor? You put on your feet the preparation of the gospel of peace. You gird about your loins with the truth. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. On your head, the helmet of salvation. You take the shield of faith to quench all the fiery darts of the enemy. And you take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. It's the Word of God. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the intents of the heart.
And the cloak. This is the zeal of God.
That's Christ's.
Yeah.
Not ours. But he said, you keep him right there, Pat. Just pull the chain a bit. In Ephesians, all the things that we mentioned were all the things that were mentioned. And those are for us. I know what you're talking about. Anyway, the Word of God tells us that the Word of God is for us and it's for others. It's for us that in that it'll shape our lives and it'll trim out. If we are prepared to listen to God and obey Him, it'll trim out, what did they say? Trim the fat and leave the meat. It'll trim out the bad habits. It'll fill the gap left with so many good habits, if you take the time to do it. And it'll make for a life that you can look back for and say, I have no regrets. Romans 8:28, all things will work together for good. To them that love God, that's you saved, and to them that are the called according to the Spirit, that's you obeying. It has never been the ability to arm wrestle God or indeed anybody else that has ever saved a soul. Does anyone recall to mind someone trying that once? Fighting God or the angel of the Lord? Who was it? Isaac? Jacob, sorry. Remember what happened? Fought all night with God until God put his hand on his thigh and the muscle on his thigh shrank. And that's why they say the Jews will never eat of that part of an animal. But you'll never win. No matter how many dumbbells you pull up or how many push-ups you do down or pull-ups you do up or squats you do or how much weight you do, you're not going to beat the devil. You're certainly not going to beat God. The Bible says physical exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things. Mm-hmm. Do you not think, I have evidence in my yard. And I used to have it at 6 o'clock in the morning. But all the potholes that have appeared in my yard for all of those people that drive up number 40 Maboy Road to attend the gym at 6 o'clock in the morning, they're not better off. I can guarantee you some of them eat more pies than they should be eating. They certainly don't look like fit people to me. It's not benefiting them. They're not one step closer to heaven. They're putting in time. They're like little hamsters on a hamster wheel, going like the clappers and getting nowhere. Friends, it is the word of God. Paul said in the book of Romans, chapter 1, it's the power of God unto salvation to every one that believeth. You have to believe it and put your faith into it. It's not your arms. It's not your shoulders. It's not your, what do you call those? Your abdominal muscles.
Yeah.
Your abs. It's not your gluteus maximus, your calves or your thighs. It's not all those muscles that's going to make a difference. It's that one. Sadly, most people are using all the others and not using the mind. The Lord said in James, because I'm sure there's none of us really where we should be as far as God's concerned. I'm sure all of us have fallen afoul of an argument or a dedicated atheist who tried to stick one on you. You know what God said? He said, yeah, we have, yes. He said, if any of you lack wisdom, ask God, who will giveth liberally and not upbraid. In other words, he'll not scold you for asking. If you want to draw closer to God, God is more than happy to help you out. He will keep giving as you keep needing. And he will keep supplying with all the things that you lose, with all the things that you give up or all the things that you lose. He will have things that are hundreds of times better just waiting in the wings to take their place. So even though Samson is synonymous with strength, it's only strength of muscle, not strength of mind. But God wants us walking and talking with him. He wants us loaded up with the scriptures and applying them to our lives and preaching them to others. And I would say to you, don't be concentrating on all the other muscles and leaving that one out. Exercise that too. I'm going to stop there. Thank you for your good time. God bless you. I'm going to sing a song and then we'll be finished. Our last song of the evening is, whenever I see it here, 441. If you'd like to stand
as we sing, "Great is thy faithfulness," it'll all be over in a flash. Taking an evening out and joining with us in Bethel. I pray that the rest of your week till next we meet is Christ-centered. Just keep your eyes on the Lord. Let's bow our heads for a wee word of prayer and then we'll be done. Heavenly Father, thank you for our time. Bless us and see us safely home, back at the next appointed time. Please, Lord, I pray, grant our private prayer requests and petitions and for the saving of lost souls. And Lord, we love you and thank you, and we ask all this in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. Folks, God bless you. Amen. We are dismissed.